The Gabcast, a podcast about bellgab.com. Visit ufoship.com for live streaming and chat. The Gabcast is not legally responsible for your feelings.
Hey everybody, it's the Gabcast. This is the June 23rd edition of the Gabcast. If you guys would like to be a part of the show tonight, the number to call is 623-242-2278. Again, that's 623-242-CAST. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got Onan. We've got B-Dub. And we have Curtis Thornton. I'm hurting myself trying to remember everybody's name here. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, man? How's everybody doing?
Hello.
I'm doing pretty good. It seems like every time I start the show, I'm kind of scrambling to make sure that everything looks good and you guys can hear everything and my mixer settings are right and I'm recording everything. And basically, I'm whining about this whole thing, but I'm great.
Life is good.
I'm glad you asked.
You know, you could try it more like the way I do things, which is I just show up and it sounds good or it doesn't.
Yeah, you just show up like 2 seconds before the air time and say, hey, I'm here, guys.
That's right.
You're like the rock star.
Well, I don't know about that. We're a rock star with a bunch of rocks.
B-Dub, are you with us? Are you there?
I am.
Okay,
I'm here.
Good. How you doing, buddy? How's the weather?
I'm good.
You know the show's going off or going downhill when I ask somebody about the weather at the top of the show.
We're right at the beginning.
Right at the very beginning. So, how's the weather, everybody?
It's wonderful. The sky was out today, and I looked at it.
It was light, and then it got dark. Wow.
Why is the sky blue?
Let's see. I noticed on the site on bellgab.com that Art Bell, I guess he didn't post on Bellgab, did he? He posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in this because I haven't followed everything leading up to it. So I'm interested in what you guys have to say about it.
Mud King, can you turn your gate feature up just a little bit? Because when you talk, I can hear some background noise.
Here you go. I'll just let the temperature go up to 90 in here because that's how much I care about you guys.
Really?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Aww.
Okay.
I would not be able to do that in here. I have the AC running and my gate on my microphone processor is cranked pretty high. So hopefully it's gating everything out. But, okay. Didn't mean to butt in, but what were you saying?
Well, actually, on that track, if you listen to the last spec sheet, I was sweating so bad during that. I almost passed out. I think it was so hot.
Really?
But it's not that bad today, so I think I'll be all right. If I pass out, just keep going. Just step over me, and we'll be all good.
I was going to ask you how hot it got back there, but I think we already talked about the weather, so,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah.
How hot was it?
It was so hot.
Tech and weather. That's what we're about. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Bellgab, well, tech and Art weather. Bell. And Art Bell, too. Yeah.
Art Bell, I'm really interested in everybody's take on that and also what the future predictions for him are in light of any new revelations from him or other people related to him.
Well, I didn't read his Facebook post, but somebody cut and pasted or did a screenshot. And basically all he said was something about humans' back isn't or God didn't create the back of a human correctly, or I don't think I'm remembering that.
Well, I think his
verbatim
exact words were, "I hate God and I'm going to blow up the earth."
Yes,
that's exactly what he said.
I can get behind those words from him because it's very clear.
Yeah,
the one thing I wanted to throw out there too with this is Onan, what you had to say in response to the conversation about that. And about how you felt with everything, you just perfectly summed up something I couldn't describe, saying how you felt about it.
Yeah, I used those words pretty good.
Yeah.
Onan is really good at that. He boils things down to the basic denominator, I guess, or the basic fundamental thought or purpose behind some things, and it's really amazing.
What it really boils down to is I can't handle complexity.
And I'm just lucky. That's all it is.
So you stick with the KISS, the KISS principle then forever.
I do.
Yeah.
So, good plan. So what did you say? What was the comment about Art Bell's post?
I honestly don't remember.
Mud King, do you remember? Could you summarize, perhaps?
He described, I'm trying to think of the words that you used, because it was really good, basically saying how you felt when he came back, when he left so quickly, and the process you felt afterwards, and how you basically showed how it's okay to not care, is the way I would describe it, just from an emotional level of the way I felt walking away from it was, you know, he really described what I kind of thought were the stages of grief maybe that people went through, but made it not sound so creepy as to say I grieved in the process.
Did he basically just said, go ahead?
I think I said I was embarrassed that I put so much energy into it up front. But I don't remember what I said after that.
Yeah, I was going to see if I could find it. Really
did you
quick.
Say you think, something like "fuck it" or "fuck Art Bell"?
No, I don't. there seems to be a lot of, or at least a certain amount of contempt for what happened with Art Bell, and you know, man, hell, if I can't explain why I put my socks on in the morning, so trying to understand why somebody did what they did in such a complex nature, I got no answers for that. I wasn't happy with how it ended, but I don't know the whole. I don't know the whole story. So
yeah,
well, and, okay, and a few
and it's
sentences.
A radio show, for Christ's sake. I mean, if I'm going to get upset because a radio show is no longer on, I want to think my life is just a little more pleasant than hanging on one guy's radio show.
Yeah, you might have bigger problems if you blow your head off because Art Bell quit.
Yeah, here's my direct quote from Onan, which I think pretty much sums up the whole thing. He says, "I believe it would be fun to have a new Art Bell show, but beyond that, I just don't care. I see his absence as both an embarrassment and a relief." That last line there just is great.
Good
I thought
point.
That summed up the whole.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. No, really, thank you for what you do.
It's no, a service that... thank you. I hope he comes back. I hope he does another 10 years of shows, but if he doesn't,
that seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
Given his age, he's not a young man.
No.
No, but you know, my wife and I were talking about this a little bit the other day, and we both kind of came to the conclusion that you know, if you're going to work at a job, you know, not saying that radio broadcasting isn't difficult, but it's not like shoveling coal or laying asphalt. So, you know, I don't see it as a physical strain for him to do it. And there are chairs out there that would take all the stress off his back. Granted, he'd be more in a reclining position than he would be sitting, but you can make modifications to your equipment to make that work. So, anyway.
Yeah, he could be levitate or be in some sort of a gravity chair where
he could do that, yeah.
Gravity isn't affecting his back at all.
What the hell is a gravity chair?
He could go to where the coral castle is.
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, I just made up the gravity chair thing.
Oh, well, he could go to where the coral castle is. And, you know, all those rocks are pretty much weightless now. So
yeah, they float.
Maybe that would work for him.
Well, you know, it really says a lot about the state of paranormal healing medicine that he can't even solve his back problem.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I know, he's had plenty of those.
You just need to get some more crystals in there.
Yeah. Align them at, what, 19.5?
Yes.
Maybe some of George Norrie's guests could help him out, you know?
Yeah,
they could lay hands on him and give him a bunch of crystals and heal that back right up.
What?
All he needs is a subscription to Gaim TV. He'd be fine.
And a bottle of Carnivora.
Yes. And Tanko products.
Mm-hmm.
Butthurt, yeah.
Yeah.
His post was... Now, let me ask you guys this. Is he purposely being vague, or is that just his nature? I mean, is he saying things in a vague manner just to spin people up, or is it just because he doesn't feel like sharing every single, you know, detail of his personal life with a bunch of people on the internet?
He has a Facebook. That says a lot right there.
I've talked to him on Facebook and chat. I mean, back before he started it started and ended his show. Yeah. So, I mean, he was actually going out and engaging with people because I'm a nobody. Why would he respond to my desperate chat attempt with him?
Right.
Oh, don't be modest. We know that you are actually Rupert Murdoch.
No, actually, I'm Keith Rowland.
And you're the sidekick to the spec sheet.
That's right. See, maybe it's because he... let me clear my throat. Sorry. As a sidekick, I need to have a clear voice.
Yeah.
He could... He put me on my box immediately.
The fact that he can say a few words and you know, several people, maybe a couple of hundred, make something out of that. I'm not quite sure what that says. It does say something, but
it says people have a lot of time in their hands.
Maybe that's it. I'm sure Art wants to keep a finger on the pulse, so to speak, of what's going on out there. I sometimes think he's really, really good at that, and other times I think he doesn't have a clue. I think he probably knows a lot more about where he's going, what he wants to do, than all of us together have. And I don't know what that really means. I don't know where he's going to go. I do think he's going to have another show. And somebody speculated on the forum that it might only be one or two days a week with other people filling in. And I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Have you heard the rumor that Michael Van Deven's going to be hosting the second slot for his show?
Wow. Did you start that rumor just now?
I just started it, yeah. I don't have no basis for it, but...
Wow.
Inside sources from Portland tell me that...
I don't want to cause bad blood between anybody, but...
But, here comes the but.
But, I would gain another 50 years of life if Michael Van Deven walked in and shit on Keith Rowland. I would become a devout Christian. Because I would know there truly is a God.
Well, there'd have to be in order for someone to be that cooperative with someone pooping on them. It's not like you could chase them around while you're trying to poop on them. You have to basically, okay, fine, let's get this over with.
Does it count if he's sleeping?
You haven't heard of drive-by pooping?
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to start before you get over them, you know? Start pushing before you get over.
That's a horrible way to start your day.
That's a lot of planning. It's a lot of pre-planning.
Drink coffee, check.
It's a
skill. Get in the car, check.
Hey, you know what?
Brand muffin, check.
We managed to get a poop story in, and Jasmunda isn't even here tonight.
Yeah. We don't need that guy after all.
Jasmunda would be very proud.
Wait, here's my worry. I'm really worried for America because Jasmunda's in America right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what, you guys? I have a message from the former president of the United States regarding Jasmunda in America. If you guys like
next time our borders get taken over by Jasmunda, whoever this is, stupid terrorists, we're going to blame him.
All right. Did I lose you guys?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay, so Jazz is calling in right now. And he's calling in on the wrong Skype account. So we'll just add him to the conference. That's great timing. Hey, Jazz, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I don't like it when people talk shit about me and I'm not there to defend myself.
Are you actually listening to the show?
I am.
Oh, awesome. I am.
And I've just called in because I can tell you guys are struggling without me. So, I thought I would lend my expertise to this little party.
And it sounds like you are in the bathroom, it sounds like.
I am actually in the bathroom because I didn't want to disturb my wife who's resting in the other room.
Sounds like a rather sizable bathroom, too. Do you have a suite there in Las Vegas? Or?
Well, not quite a suite, but it's got a bath and a shower and a toilet.
Wow, does it have a bidet as well?
No, we're not that classy.
Really? Yeah, I've never ever used a bidet.
Well, if you wipe properly, you don't need to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So did we lose the other hosts here? Are the rest of you guys still there? No, you know what? I lost. I think I clicked add you to the conference, Jazz.
We don't really need them, do we?
No, I guess not. I mean, it's going pretty well. Yeah. Just you and me. So let me see what I can do here. Do you have a story? You want to update us? Tell us about your trip or tell us about your thread even? Or
Well, if you've been following the thread, you know everything that's basically been happening, bar any of the really adult stuff. Yeah, pretty much everything that's on there is everything I've been experiencing.
Yeah. It seems to be pretty popular, too.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be staying on topic, so that's a good thing.
And you're a much better writer than I previously had thought. Because usually, I mean, you usually don't write very much, you know. You usually just write a couple sentences and that's it.
That's true. Usually I just do some little sniping comment or some immature thing. But, I used to be an okay writer, so I thought I should put my talents to good use.
Yeah, I don't know how to get the rest of the hosts back on the air.
Do you want to ditch me?
Yeah, do you want to hang up and call back?
Yeah, sure.
Or do you want to just hang up and not call back?
No, I can call back if you want me.
No. Yeah, I mean, if you're busy, I mean, come on. It's we don't want to take time away from your vacation. Yeah, hang up and give us a call back.
I'll call back.
All right, man. Let's see. Okay, so there goes Jazz. And let's see if I can get the rest of the host. See, okay, what I did is I put him on hold. Okay, so how do I resume call? There we go. Are you guys back?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, so when Jazz called in, I should have told him to call in on the 623-242-2278 number, too. So when he called in, I clicked add to conference, but for some reason it put the rest of you guys on hold. And I didn't realize that until, a couple minutes into the conversation when I didn't hear you guys chime in. So,
Jazmunda has taken a giant dump on the Gabcast this week.
He just completely ruined it, even though he's not with us.
Fucking jerk, man.
So could you guys hear the conversation when you're on a hold?
No. The funny thing is the same thing happened to me on the spec sheet, and I just turned on the stream and listened to it. So I was listening to the conversation on delay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he in a bathroom?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, it sounded like it.
I was in the Batcave.
Okay, good. Yeah. So he is calling on the caller line now, so let me just decline this. I don't want to talk
Thanks,
to him.
Thanks, Jazz, for ruining the whole fucking show. Thank you.
Hey,
I heard that beta.
You call that a call?
He doesn't want to disturb
the toilet right now. Jazz, are you on the toilet right now?
I'm not. I'm very close to it, but I'm not actually sitting.
Flush it for us, please.
That's not a bidet, man.
This toilet sounds like a jet engine. Listen to this.
Does it flush the wrong direction?
Oh, no.
Yes, to me it does.
Ah.
Is that our first flush on the Gabcast?
Yes, it is.
Ah.
I'm just honored that I was here for that.
It was another classic moment. Every time Mud King joins us on the air, it's like the best Gabcast ever, like classic moments, you know, in history.
We should do this once every 6 months.
Maybe once every year.
Well, okay, yeah, I got my hopes up there. hey, Jazz, can we hear the tiger?
The tiger, what? What's the Siegfried and Roy's tiger?
Well, don't you have a tiger in your hotel room?
Oh, yes, The Hangover. Sorry, I wasn't sure which Las Vegas reference you were going
There's so
for.
Many. it was a you pick 'em moment.
Yeah. It's bloody hot where I am right now.
Now you know why I complain so much about the heat.
I can understand why people carry guns in Vegas or in Nevada.
Yeah, they go fucking crazy.
In this heat, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that, I really I think like the is, go ahead, Jess.
Is the cops, the cop cars, there's two cops in the front seat and in between them a shotgun.
Yeah.
It's always a good look. You're not going to fuck with those guys.
And a hooker in the back.
Yes.
In the trunk. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Trunk, yeah. Yeah.
So, Jazz, did you read the Art Bell's post on Facebook this week?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think about it?
Which post are we referring to? The post about his sore back or
the back, and then didn't he say there's more to come or something's on the horizon or give some sort of other vague comment?
Did he say something or was there something that someone posted on Belgab about Jimmy Church mentioning that there was some...
Oh, yeah, there was that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're... I don't think Art actually said anything or...
Well, Art said something about his back.
Yeah, yeah, but he's had a sore back for years and years and years, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean he's coming back.
Yeah, it does. He said back, and it's exactly, that's how I read it.
That's ham radio speak for I'll be back on
August 27th. He had a special time on the clock,
And the way that everything was positioned was very symbolic of a meaning. And therefore, I conclude that he will be back next week.
Are you speaking all in caps right now, B-Dub?
I am.
Hey, I am an ordained member of the Scorpion Army. Be careful. They're one of my favorite bands.
Portland Scorpions.
Yeah. I'm the Muncie Scorpions branch.
Nice.
Onan, are you still with us? No, looks like I lost
Onan. He's lost Onan.
Lost Onan. Down. He is winding down. Let me see if I can call him back. Well,
oh, he's going to be so pissed off when he comes back on the air.
Was he on call? Did he say anything about being on call tonight to you guys?
No.
Because it shows that he's still connected to Skype.
Yeah, he's typing right now.
Oh,
yeah,
I guess.
He just said that he hated everyone.
Yeah, he said this is the worst show ever, and he's asked me to leave. But that's irrelevant to what we're talking about here.
Yes, it is.
I guess he's on hold. Or he asked if he's still on
hold. This is one giant clusterfuck.
Yeah, it is. I guess, I don't know if he's still on hold or not. I don't know. Let me check and see. I don't know how to see that. Why don't you guys talk amongst yourselves while I try to work this out?
I would like to share a humorous paranormal story. Turns out that apparently there are people in the world that like to sit on Google Earth and just scroll around the Earth and zoom in and out and try and looking for things that they can have a conniption fit about.
Yeah.
And apparently some guy was doing this and found something that looks like a UFO with an alien sticking his head out. And that's been news.
Do you have the coordinates for it?
Oh, that's a good question. let me see if I can pull that puppy up.
That reminds me of the searching. You have lost your connection. Please redial.
Oh, here it is. I'll put this in the chat room and see if anyone can.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Wasn't there a kid who painted a giant penis on his roof so that it would get captured by Google?
Yeah.
Ah, here are the coordinates.
Yeah, well, there's a church, wasn't there, that had a shape was in a penis of the church.
That was just a building, wasn't it?
Was it a building or a church? Because I like to think God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And there was also, wasn't there, the body of a dead kid was on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a few of those where people are...
Like naked people.
They see the Google car coming and they lay down on the road or, you know, do something strange. I saw one where there was a family in a park and there was these kids all running around and then there was this guy with a mask and he was holding a gun on one of the parents or something. But it was a toy gun. I mean, it was a put up. You know, it was fake.
Have you seen the dock out on like a lake or an ocean that looks like a dead body was dragged on it?
Yes, yeah.
I love that one.
I'd like to thank Jazmunda for channeling the disembodied spirit of George Norrie talking about dead kids. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Ah yes.
Yeah, I'm not doing very good on my George Norrie soundboard tonight.
You're going to have to work on that, man.
Yeah. Did you guys read the nice little facts thread that MV started?
Yes, it's one of my favorites now. I've learned so much from it already.
It's actually a pretty good thread. I didn't think it was going to go very far, but it's amazing. Some of the stuff that's being brought up. Somebody brought up like a phobia, which is called TAPA. Or I don't know how to pronounce this. Tapioca phobia. Yeah, which is a fear of being burned or buried alive. And then somebody else posted something about a safety casket that they used to be. This used to be a big thing back in the 1800s, mid 1800s, and maybe even early 1900s.
Yeah, I was going to say I think earlier than that.
Was it? Is it even earlier than the 1800s?
I'm going back because. You've heard the saying, that doesn't ring a bell, or that rings a bell.
Yeah.
That's what that saying is from, because they used to put some sort of gadget in the coffin so that if you weren't really dead, you could pull on a string and a bell would ring, so somebody would know to dig you up.
That blows my mind. That's where that phrase comes from?
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm going back to like the 1400s, but I don't know. I'm not even sure they buried people in the 1400s, so there's that.
Well, that brings up another kind of tangent, because this was all new to me as far as the phobia and safety coffins and all that until I saw that thread. But burying people, is that something that's... if you watch modern TV shows about medieval times and older, you burned everybody. You built a funeral pyre, or you put them out in the water, you know, all the ways that they sensationalize the honor of death. But back in the old days, the 1400s, when someone died, what did they do? Did they bury them the way we do now, or is it a totally different process? I have no idea.
I'm sure at one point, you know, a long time ago, people died and they kept them nearby because they loved them, and then they started to stink, and they said, we got to do something about that. So they probably started burying. You know, I mean, it goes back to at least the days of you know, the pharaohs and that, because they entombed people in sarcophagi.
Right. So, but that was something that you had to have a certain stature in society, right? So
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Not everyone got... Sometimes you just got thrown in a ditch.
Well, yeah, I guess that's where I'm going with it. Was back in the day, for the average pauper, were they burned or were they buried in some nameless pit?
Well, so what day are we talking about?
I guess let's go before Christ, probably, because obviously we know the story pretty well from documentation from there. Let's say before him, back in Roman and earlier.
There are lots of different cultural beliefs about how to conduct a burial. Some people were buried. Sufis, I believe, and this is true of Indians too, some American Indian tribes, but Sufis would put you on top of a high pedestal that would be up above the city, so that the birds could come and pluck your eyes out. And the idea was that the birds would take your eyes and take you to and that would take you to heaven.
That was basically your one part of yourself that was carried on.
Yeah, well, that was where your soul was, and they carried it up in the heaven and blah blah blah. Of course, the reality is that the dead guy top of a slab suspended above the city, and that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's not really. Maybe in some parts in Southeast Asia, some remote parts, that's still observed, but for health reasons, it's basically been abolished, I think.
They suspended them above the city as their burial, or as a punishment, or as to ward off thieves, or was that their burial thing?
That was how they got them to heaven.
Oh, okay, I see. So they didn't burn them, they just stuck them up.
They'd just be on a slab.
Wow.
Above the city, birds would come and feed on them.
Oh, man.
Trade wasn't really that good with their neighbors, but...
Yeah. I mean, wasn't there something in a Native American Indian culture where they did that?
Yeah, well, I think it's... I don't know if it's the Cheyenne or... You're thinking of Deadwood, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, there's that... was it a Comanche or Apache or...
I don't know. It was in the Dakota Territory. That's all I know. I don't know what...
They buried him on top of the hill, on top of a little fort thing, and then that was so they could see the sun come up.
He was facing east or something, and his dead horse was underneath him, and there was like a little, you know, structure that he built that they built out of wood sticks or something that was ordained religious.
European. I'm just a dumb European. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Well, Wikipedia says that human burial goes back over 100,000 years. And the first human remains with red ochre were found in Israel.
File that under common sense. So maybe that's evidence that common sense actually exists. It's not a myth. Common sense is not a myth. People were smart enough to bury their dead.
Well, they probably had to figure it out for a while, though.
I mean, common sense is built into us, then why are so many people lacking it these days?
TV.
Okay.
That's
mass education,
honey boo boo.
Part of that and Jazz Monday will be the death of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
As society gets more complex, common sense seems to be more lacking.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is that when you live in a tense situation or in a tense environment, the chances are you're going to not make the best decision.
No, that's true.
Isn't that really the moral of the Matrix trilogy, too? That no one really knew how Zion was built, but they used it anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I love to try to assign more cultural significance to that trilogy than there really is.
Oh, my God.
It's just a movie. It's not real.
It was one good movie and two shitty movies.
Exactly.
I would personally like to thank... on behalf of Americans everywhere, I want to thank the Jazzmundas for stimulating the U.S. economy. Mrs. Jazzmunda has been spending money like crazy, which has been stimulating the economy. But also Jazzmunda in his chronic bowel disorder has been creating all kinds of work for plumbers everywhere. So,
well, I thought the way he was paying for his gambling was by stimulating someone's economy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too happy with gambling at the moment.
Uh-oh.
It's not my friend. I thought it was easy. That's what they make it look like on all the movies.
Yeah, it's easy to win. Sure. Everybody wins.
It is easy, man. You just haven't played long enough. Go back.
Yeah, I think I need a really pretty woman to blow the dice for me.
And don't forget to get a drink before you start.
I'm hoping your wife's not listening to the...
She's not.
She's asleep in the other room.
She'd be horrified if she ever heard my behavior on the Gabcast.
Has she ever listened to even one show?
No.
Have you even told her that you...
Yes, I have. She's not interested. Lucky me.
That's funny. I like this woman.
Yeah. I don't want to listen to the fucking internet.
I think that all of the shows that we do, we need to have a significant others-only show, because that would be awesome.
Yes, that would be funny.
Yeah, this is what you would hear from my significant other.
I wish that mine was like that. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Unfortunately, blow-up dolls don't talk at the moment.
Exactly right.
One day. Yeah. Yeah, they do if you put your hand up in the hole and move its mouth.
It seems like...
I'm leaving this conversation alone because my wife does listen.
Like the quality of the call on B-Dub and Curtis has, like, dropped off. It seems like you're...
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are talking through, like, muddy water or something.
It's probably because when you fucked everything up when Jazz called, we tried to rejoin, and it's been fucked up ever since.
It's all my fault. What? Sorry.
Jazz continues to take a giant dump on the Gabcast. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, Jazz called in on the actual caller line, so that's good. But yeah, maybe you guys are still it's still screwed up from the remnants of the Jazzmunda storm that blew through the my regular Skype username here. Do you guys want to hang up and call back?
Sure. Do I want to? Not really.
Well, I can just do it right here without your approval.
Oh well, fine. Thank you very much.
We're gonna dump the line.
So now I'm asking people, the host, to actually hang up from the show. And just me and Owen and Jazzmunda. All right, B-Dub is back.
Yes, I am.
See, that sounds a lot better.
And now I think he dropped everyone else, man.
No, Onan's still here. And
I'm still here.
I'm here.
Curtis isn't back yet, though. He's a little slow. He's a ginger. So he's kind of slow.
Oh, yeah,
he's
retarded.
I wouldn't go that
he's
far.
Totally considering
he's
his
a ginger
options.
And he's a ginger and he's from Indiana, so
good point.
That's two whammies.
Good point.
Okay, so we're waiting for him to call in, going back to that safety casket thing, did you guys realize that Onan, you mentioned that there's a bell, so people can, if they reanimate or they were buried mistakenly, they can ring it. There was also, they put in breathing tubes. And in some cases, they also put in, like, smelling tubes. So the priest or whoever was checking the cemetery every day, they'd walk to the new caskets and they'd smell. There was a tube going down and they'd smell for putrefaction. And if they didn't smell it, then they dug the body up.
You can't pay me enough for that job.
Yeah.
What's my job description?
Did you guys read that I went out with a girl in high school who had a grandmother who, well, supposedly passed away and then a few days later woke up in the morgue?
Mm. I was going to ask you if that was because it was so perfectly placed that I wondered if it was a real story or you're just...
It's an absolute real story.
Really?
And, like, amazing. So I was going out with this girl, so I went through the whole you know, mourning process where everyone was crying and so sad, and you know, I was around the family, and then like it went from.
I don't know why that's funny.
It went from being, you know, the saddest event to the happiest event, and the woman lived for another 17 years.
I only have one thing to say about that. They needed a different doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know.
I know, you just like really that. Drunk or what?
Must have been.
Did they say she had some sort of condition that made her appear as though she wasn't breathing and she didn't have a pulse or heartbeat?
I wish I knew what the medical condition was or the explanation. I don't, unfortunately.
Thank God that they didn't rush her off to get her embalmed.
Yeah.
You know, but I would think
cremator.
Yeah, I would think the embalmer. But don't they have to embalm bodies before they cremate them?
Yeah, they just set them on fire. Why would they waste embalming fluid on someone they were just going to?
Somebody's got to make an extra buck.
It's a conspiracy, man. Yeah,
it may be flammable.
That whole mortuary embalming and the whole services. They really. Screw people over, and it's almost criminal. Scam. Yeah, it's almost criminal. Some of the stuff that they charge, you know.
Yeah,
do we still sound like shit?
No, we're sounding better. Although we're talking over each other, but that's all right.
Yeah,
at least it sounds good. At least it sounds good while we're talking over each other.
Many years ago, I worked for a printing company, and one of our big clients was a coffin manufacturer. So. Like once a year, we would print their pricing catalogs. And let me tell you, you're getting boned when you buy a coffin.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I came into the world that way. Might as well go out, too, getting screwed.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, you know, I've gone through the process of being told that I was dying. And
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was 17 years old. They thought I had I'd been really bad sick for months, really, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was. And
no,
exactly, sir.
Sorry, George. That's not correct. Go ahead.
I like to talk to him. So ultimately, I got so bad sick that I was put into the hospital. And again, I'm 17 years old. The moment they put me in and do the initial check of me. They put me in a room by myself, and the next time someone comes in to talk to me, they're in, like, they have all the cover on their face, gloves everywhere, you know, being nice. Totally isolated from me.
And
everyone who came to see me was like that. Then they put me in a room that truly isolated me, and no one wanted to really tell me what was going on. And my mother, who had multiple sclerosis, I remember the moment that she pulled off the mask that she was wearing. She's like, this isn't going to be whatever it is you think he has isn't going to be the thing that kills me. I don't care. And so she's the only person who didn't wear some kind of protection when she was around me. But
that was great.
I spent 2 weeks in the hospital and they decided.
What did they finally say was wrong?
Well, they thought I had meningitis in my brain and that I had swelling and the outlook wasn't that good, I guess.
Just because of the red hair that didn't confuse them?
Yeah. Well, that was a separate condition that I still haven't gotten over. But I take medicine every day for it. But it's called rat poison. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, really?
Of course, I live in a small town. So this everyone finds out about it. Everyone's calling me. You know, pretty much the whole town comes together to say their goodbyes to me and tell me how they feel. And
my God,
did you ever stop to think that maybe this was a hint?
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is, I was and maybe I still am today, but I was extremely self-centered and my life wasn't had really no perspective to it, like most 17-year-olds are.
Yeah, that's exactly what a 17 is supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, so I went through all this the planning of, hey, I'm dying of this, and I really don't even know what it is. The meningitis meant nothing to me at the time. So anyway, I really came to terms with the fact that I'm human, I'm going to die, that's the way life is. So I really was comfortable with myself. Then they put me through a whole series of tests with, like, spinal taps and you name it.
Oh, those are terrible. Oh, my God.
Well, here's the thing. like 2 days after I do the spinal tap, my doctor comes in and he says, I've got some good news for you. And I'm like, okay, what's that? Am I dying tomorrow? What's the deal? And he says, you have scarlet fever. And I think that's even worse. So I'm like, oh God, you know, here I go.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this is, we can deal with this now that we know what it is.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. We can totally take care of it. It's not at all as bad as we thought it was. But I was really bad. I mean, I was weak. I had a heart murmur as a result of it for a while, like a temporary.
So you live each day to the fullest because of that scare you had when you were young.
No, I figured I got all the good days taken care of before that.
Yeah, he's just masturbating that much more.
Exactly. Right.
Just get as much in as possible.
Sounds like a lifetime movie of the week to me.
It wasn't that. I'll never forget calling my girlfriend at the time.
All right, I'm going to hang up on Jazz. Jesus. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I'm not. Do it.
I
get
rid
of that Aussie bastard.
Yeah. It's the only time I'm going to be able to do it.
You call that a knife? So anyway, I remember being on several medications to ease the pain and everything that I was going through, and calling my girlfriend because I didn't want her to go through the pain of having her boyfriend die.
You cut out there for a little bit.
Yeah, I lost you. Calling your girl and then nothing.
Okay, so I broke up with her in middle of the night one night because I thought, you know, any day was going to be the day that I would die. So I didn't want her to have to go through the pain of her boyfriend being dead.
Oh.
So I had the thought in my mind, well, I'm going to break up with her and spare her all this pain.
Very noble cause, sir.
Yeah, how ridiculous was that?
Yeah.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, I've had a lot of girlfriends do that to me, and they never actually die. It's really...
yeah.
Actually, that did work out really well, I guess.
I'm dying next week. I need to break up with you. All right. So, yeah.
Here's my my final part of the story. So after
there's more?
Well, okay. This is just a dumb aside. So anyway, after this happened, I'm in a weird spot in my life now compared to everyone else I know because I came to terms with, you know, my failures and everything, and I accepted it for what it was. I realized that the nothingness that happened afterwards wasn't going to, nothing I was going to do is going to change that. So I accepted life for what it was. So I had to have my wisdom teeth taken out not long after that. Before the anesthesiologist or whoever it is that comes in to put you to sleep for that part of it, I looked at the person and I said, I probably won't wake up from this, and I'm okay with that. And the person freaked out, called my parents in, and they thought I was suicidal. So they had to explain that no, he just went through a really, you know, mentally crazy experience, and he just accepts the fact. And so anyway, that
I'm on borrowed time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually die, but I could have.
When you tell that story, I imagine your doctor being like a redneck version of House.
that would have been awesome. The funny thing is that if I understood right, scarlet fever is like strep throat that doesn't get caught, like as it goes through the more advanced stages.
Yeah.
So the thing I always wondered is, should I go back to the doctor if he missed for months scarlet fever, or missed strep throat?
Might be time to get a new doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, actually, as you were telling the story, I was thinking maybe scarlet fever. And I'm not a doctor.
Wow, Onan already diagnosed over the phone.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, like 17 years ago. Wow.
It's a much more common illness than meningitis, and it doesn't present the same way. So I'm like, what's going on with this doc? Maybe he drinks a bit.
Well, he should have shared it with me.
It is Indiana, so.
Right. Well, we really don't have doctors here. We have a guy who stops by on his horse every 6 months. He says, anyone feeling bad? Nope, you're dying.
Did you guys see? I think we should move on to a different topic, don't you think? I think after Mud King.
Yeah, let's start talking about the ginger from Indiana for a little while.
I was going to talk about John B. Wells alluding to how shitty Belgab was.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Did you guys see where John B. Wells said that Belgab was shitty?
Well, I don't pay attention to John B. Wells, but I do pay attention to Belgab, and I noticed that some people on Belgab are talking about that.
Yeah. I actually didn't hear the comment, but I think Big Chucka posted a transcript of what he said.
He could have.
Are we going to have Jazz read that in his sexy voice?
I don't have it with me, but was it because of a thread about John B. Wells?
What's that, Jazz?
Was it because of a thread about John B. Wells?
Well, it's John, you know, in the podcast thread, there's a Caravan to Midnight thread. It was in there that.
And what do people take pot shots at him or something?
Yeah, there's people that aren't too nice to him. I think that's mostly the majority of the people that post in there say that he's a hack, or hey, they don't like his show.
He doesn't deserve nice because he's such an asshole. Saying that the school shootings are false flag. And fuck him.
Yeah, with Sandy Hook.
Him saying that we suck is high praise. So that's all. Well, hey, I could care less.
Yeah,
he was the voice of the Craig Kilborn show, though.
Fuck him.
Really?
That's just another reason to ignore him, because the Craig Kilborn show sucked ass.
Yeah, but I like Craig Kilborn. When he was on The Daily Show, it was awesome.
Yeah, he started The Daily Show.
You just like Craig Kilborn because he's from Indiana.
Is he?
And he's sort of a quasi-ginger.
I didn't know he was from Indiana.
I made that up.
I just lost respect for him. And maybe you.
Speaking of school shootings, every time I've seen a school while I've been in the U.S., I cross the street.
You go on the other side of the road.
Wise choice.
Is that because... Well, never mind.
Jazz, you realize, of course, that gunfire is just how we greet each other here in America.
Yeah, I've learned that now.
That's just how we say hi.
Yeah, a lot of gangs have gone away from doing gang signs, and they just shoot now. The caliber of bullet you shoot is a sign of respect.
Yeah, 22, you know, that's just... I don't know. I was going to try to say something hilarious right there, but I lost my train of thought.
Failed.
So that's it. Because I was thinking about what John B. Wells said, and I think he said something along the lines of those guys over there at Something Gab are a bunch of losers, or I don't have it word for word, but yeah. So I think there was a few people, and he also said something along the lines of, why don't they start their own show so we can criticize them?
Why don't we?
Yeah. I really think that's a horrible idea.
That's a great idea.
If you could get him on the show, would you guys interview him?
Sure.
Fuck no.
You wouldn't? Okay.
Okay. No. So, BW, you going to want to break the tie? Yay or nay? Don't hurt yourself.
Sure. But I wouldn't be very respectful.
Well, have you listened to this guy?
He's an idiot, and he sucks.
There's nothing. Never mind.
There's really not anything about him that's redeeming.
I find it to be very interesting. I mean, he's got a good radio voice, but there's not a lot of depth behind it.
I've only listened to like 15 minutes,
so I'm probably not the expert on this guy. But
have you heard I think it's on YouTube. There's audio of him without his sound processor. And,
hi guys, I'm John B. Wells. Welcome to the show tonight.
Basically, yeah. I don't know if it was Doc.
Sandy Hook was a false flag.
Yeah. Any guy who has a lot of respect from Alex Jones has already proven himself too.
Yeah.
Did you guys, if you could interview Alex Jones, would you?
No.
Okay.
I would interview him, but what I would do is act like I was interviewing him. But then, like, not record it, and then, like, between tape.
Uh-oh. He just cut out right at the pivotal moment in his story. Say the last sentence there, B-Dub.
I would act like I was recording him, and then keep recording him when he was... I'd say we'd take a break, and it would be, like, a candid, like, behind-the-scenes moment, and he would just be saying whatever, because I know he would just show his ass.
But do you think he would go out of character?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So with John B. Wells,
I don't think Alex Jones is ever out of character. I think he is batshit crazy, 24/7.
That may be the case. I don't know.
Yeah, that's got to be part of his personality. Kind of a bulldog douchebag kind of guy, you know. I don't think he's that good of an actor to be able to do that as an act.
You could be right with that.
Yeah, I mean, you may be right.
Okay. Well, then, how about Art? Is Art a character?
Art Bell. No, I don't think he's a character.
I think he's to some extent, he's a performer when the mic's on. He's doing a show.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think that he truly believes all the paranormal stuff that he talks about on the show, even though he sounds like he's interested and he's, you know, amazed at some of the stuff that some of his guests are talking about. So I think that he plays along in that way, but I don't think he's misrepresenting who he is or, you know, playing some sort of a over-the-top character or anything.
This is something I've done in general conversation, so I'll kind of hold back a little bit, but I think Art Bell is genuine when he's on the radio, and I think that is pretty much what he's like. I think what you hear is what is really what's there. I'll just say it. I think he's really talented in his ability to interview someone, but I don't think, and I don't mean this as negatively as it's going to sound, but I don't think he's that intellectually motivated to really know the depth of what he's talking about. I think he really thinks that where he's at is as deep as it gets. And
So you could contrast that with Ian Punnett, who really tries to delve maybe too deep into a subject.
I have a whole different complaint with Ian Punnett, but I think Ian Punnett probably can dissect an issue much more deeply than Art could.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But he also talks.
I'm not trying to say this in a bad way towards Art, because I think you don't get much better than that when it comes to interviews.
His good interviews happen when he gets away from the main subject and gets people talking about the things that surround the subject. He's really good at that. I think so. I think that's what, in my point of view, most really good interviewers, you get someone who comes on the air and they've thought out what it is they're going to talk about. They've got their spiel, whether it was a personal experience, a product, whatever, or a theory, and they really want to stick to that subject. And Art does a good job of talking about the subject with them, but also asking them other questions that sort of seem random. And it takes them a little bit out of it, but they still end up talking about it. What I consider the classic shows are like that, where he gets them away from it. Because like with Hoagland, I would love to see what a conversation between those two in the real world is like. Does Hoagland amp it or take it down a couple notches? And do they talk about sports or whatever it is they're interested in?
They talk about Asian poontang.
Well, that's something they both probably support for sure. But the interviews that make Hoagland the legend he is aren't just where he went crazy. And when I say legend, I say that with a smile on my face. They're not just where he's talking about the phases on Mars and all that. It's when he starts to get into other things with Art and talking about his past or at least his interpretation of his past. I think those are more interesting than throwing out the same theory over and over again. I think it's why I don't like Ed Dames that much, because Ed Dames doesn't have any other extra layers to him.
I never understood how Ed Dames got on that show so often, because he was so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just take his audio and just play it and just listen for the metrics, the audios, it's all the same. You know, he sounds, all his responses are pretty much the same way. They're cut and dried. There's not a great deal of emotional inflection. It's not like he's he's very guarded in what he says, and he doesn't want to get off his script.
Would you say he sounds unemotional to the point of like being a psychopath or a sociopath?
No.
If you had to read him?
Well, that's kind of a hard question to answer.
Well, this is a Gabcast, man. Pull up your boots.
Well, then I got to qualify and say that most sociopaths, true sociopaths, have a very charming personality about them and will engage you in a very fluid conversation. And Ed Dames is unable to do that.
So he's just a boring ass.
I like when Dames is on with George Norrie, and he's always smacking Norrie down. I mean, he's always disagreeing with Norrie and saying, no, George, that's not right. That's not what I said. You know, he's always doing that with George, and he seems to be pretty cranky.
So, I don't know. I didn't want to turn this into a why I hate Ed Dames, but
well, I started it. It's okay. It's not my hate mail to me. It's Michael.
Well, basically, he's Michael just Van a boring, smug bastard.
Yeah. Well, it's I never really thought smug with him, but maybe you're right because he does really. He goes on and on about his accuracy, even though it's been proven time and again to not be true.
And yeah. his responses. If you ask if he was asked a question that kind of went off tangent, his response was something as curt as, "No, it doesn't work like that."
Yeah.
You know, rather than try to explain the nuance, he just stuck to this very basic script that I know more than you. And don't question me.
Yeah, so more of a narcissist. Sorry, was someone else talking?
Yeah, more of a narcissist.
Hard to say.
More of a paranormal, certainly. More of a paranormalist, probably, than anything. That really should be. Onan, you need to become famous for coining the phrase paranormalist in some kind of medical sense.
I never said that word.
No, I'm saying you need to take it and do that.
Yeah, we're giving it to you.
I think it's a great. Yeah. I think it's a great affliction.
You need to put a TM after that and trademark it, buddy.
Yeah, man,
you can make millions.
Yeah just ask Folky.
You'll be buying property everywhere.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, like Monopoly.
You know, guys.
Yeah.
Looks like that's almost going to be a done deal. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Nice.
Didn't mean to go.
Hey, Jazz. You said you had something. You have
later,
a game.
Man.
Yes.
Wait, what's that? Onan, you have to jet? You have to go?
Yeah, I got to get out of here pretty soon.
Okay. Go ahead, Jess.
All right. I just had a little game that I'd like to play called Guess Which Dead President.
Okay, so how do we play this game?
How do you play this? So I'm just going to tell you a piece of your... I'm going to name a currency, and you're going to tell me which dead president adorns that currency.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of the Iraqi president?
I can't remember. I'm going to use your U.S. currency that I'm currently holding.
Hold on, let me get my wallet.
No cheating, no peeking, no internet. Okay, $50 bill.
Grant.
Oh, good one. 20.
Jefferson.
Good one. Jackson.
I said Jackson.
Jackson's
which one
correct.
Was it? Jackson? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
10.
Hamilton.
Good one. Yeah. Correct. $5.
Lincoln.
Yeah, you should know the note, the $1 note.
Washington.
Yeah. Yep. And
that's the one that I have most
for the jackpot. 100.
Franklin.
Yeah.
Who's on the $2 bill though?
But he's not a president though.
Is that a Jefferson?
Oh, is that
Jefferson is a $2, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah. No. Is
Franklin?
It?
I can't remember.
I always thought it was like Edgar Allan Poe or something.
On the $2
bill? Yeah, probably was. No. I think it was John Wilkes Booth. I'm not sure. But.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So are there non-presidents on the... Am I led to believe that there are people who aren't presidents? Or?
Yeah, Franklin was not a president.
Yeah.
And Hamilton, did someone say on the chat room?
Was Hamilton? Or did he just sign the declaration?
Hamilton was on the $10 bill.
Yeah, who's on the $100,000 bill? That's what I want you to tell me.
I know who that is. That's
Wilson
from.
Yeah, you're right. It's Wilson.
Unfortunately, they wouldn't change that one for me.
Oh wait, was it which one is Mr. Burns on? Is that the $1 million bill? No, do you remember that episode?
Can I tell you? Yeah. Every time I've used a $100 or $50 bill here, I get the dirtiest looks. And
that's a new thing.
They always hold it up. You know, hold it up to the light, or they get one of those, you know, marker pens and draw a line on it. Don't people trust people here?
No.
Not a bit.
What denomination?
$100 or $50?
Huh. Yeah, I was
just at a place.
When they do that to me, when somebody takes my 50 and takes that special pen and draws a line across, when they give me my change back, I ask to borrow their pen.
That's a good one. Thank you.
You just sit there and mark each bill and give them a dirty look each time you do it.
I'm going to do that.
Hold it up to the light.
Yes.
Good.
Thank
good
you.
One on them. That's really funny.
That's awesome.
I do that with
a you.
Talk more than because you know. Basically, they're saying we think you're a thief.
Well, I was thinking about that. I was quite insulted the first few times, but then I thought they're just doing it. You're not doing it because of me. I mean, someone could have given me a false one, so they're just sort of protecting themselves. But yes,
yeah, the employee's just covering his own ass.
Yeah.
It's not the guy at the ticket counter that's, you know, he's just following what he's been told.
Of course, of course.
But somebody in that management has made the decision that you are a thief.
Yes.
Fuck.
I bet you the places that do it more often are the places that actually got handed forged notes before. Because if you have a forged note or you pass a forged note, you lose that. You lose that money. I mean, if a vendor takes that money, they don't get a replacement $20 bill or $100 bill. That money is fucking gone. I mean, you can kiss it.
Younger, I worked in retail, and they had told us to look be on the lookout for, it was like 20s or 50s that were fake that people were passing around in the area. And I found one of them. When a person was coming through my line, I see it, you know, do the thing where I look at it. And they immediately caught on to what I was doing, and they just left. You know, they weren't going to waste their time.
So they knew it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I go to my boss, and I say, here's a fake 20 I got. They call the police to come over and ask me what they look like and everything. And I got grilled. How would I – they wanted to know how I would know what a fake $20 bill looks like. I was like, you know, I'm not the one who used this. Why are you coming after me?
Yeah. You
know,
like, you're grilling me. That's that cunning Indiana police
That's
work.
Right.
You know, they're on that's a whole other level.
Yeah,
listen, boy, we're on to you and your fancy observational skills. Where'd you learn how fake money looks?
No, they basically just blame everybody. You know, if the real criminal gets away, they blame innocent bystanders and grill them until they confess.
But, you know, every police officer has a quota for how many gingers in a year they actually are able to disincarcerate. And I understand. I was one of them. I almost became a number in the system.
Oh,
luckily, I had already died. So
well, you were lucky. When they profile gingers, they typically throw the rule book out because there are so few. Usually just take you straight to jail.
Yeah, the weird thing is I called a lawyer to try to, you know, maintain my rights, and they said, no, we can't help you. We only help people with souls. Said, well, you don't have a soul. You're a lawyer. That was the weirdest part of almost dying is when you get close to the light and the light says, oh, nope, sorry, wrong person.
Wrong line.
You know what? I'd almost want to be a ghost now because I saw that there's a new ghost hunter show out there. It's called Pretty Paranormal, and it's five Playboy playmates that go out and hunt for ghosts.
Nothing paranormal about what I'm thinking.
I know. I wonder if they do it topless. What's that, Onan?
My pants are haunted.
You got some good zingers tonight, buddy.
Do
you guys want to talk about Game of Thrones, or you want to shut it down?
I'm going to get out of here. If you guys want to talk about GOT, go for it, but I got to head out.
All right, Onan. Thanks for joining
guys.
Us, buddy.
Talk to you.
Yeah. Later.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah.
See you around the forums. I don't know why I said that.
How did you find out about Pretty Paranormal?
I just Googled paranormal news, and it was like the 20th one down.
Playboy Playmate is what you Googled. Pervert.
Did you say paranormal nudes?
Yes.
Okay.
I was looking for.
You found that Rocky Mountain, paranormal girl thing.
I was looking for naked ghosts. I want to see if there's anything under their sheet. I mean, just like the Scottish guys, if they wear underwear under their kilts.
I don't want to know.
So are we going to do spoilers, or are we going to try not to be spoilers for this Game of Thrones, or we just don't give a fuck because the season finale is already over and it's been a couple weeks since then, so.
Yeah, let's let it rip.
I think everyone knows winter's coming, so who cares?
Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched all the Game of Thrones episodes, you're going to want to leave.
Pause right now. Come back when you're done.
Leave.
You know, I hate that. Winter is coming. They've been fucking talking about winter since the first season, and the only winter I've seen is what's up at the wall and at Castle Black.
I'll just interject there because in the books it's actually explained that I don't know if it's the way how time is measured, but there's the equivalent right. of 7 years of summer and 7 years of winter.
Really?
But so it's not just like winter is every 6 months or whatever.
Yeah. But the thing is, well, they had in the books an extended summer. Like yeah. it's been unnaturally long. So.
Yeah. And yeah, right. the 7 years of summer has actually been a longer period or whatever. So.
Well, so how would you explain that using actual science? Would that just mean like their planet was super huge or had like a weird orbit or like compared
I would think
to Earth?
An orbit. Yeah. It'd have to be
the path around the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has a much wider and much larger.
It's a lot like Alaska.
Circle around the sun. Aliens. Orbit around the sun, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they were all on the same plane.
What's that, Jess?
I just wanted to know does that make the characters in Game of Thrones aliens?
Yeah. I hope so.
Yes.
Because in a world like that, what happened to Ned Stark, it would have happened anyway. Never mind.
Yeah, I think that the Hound is probably still alive. And I like I said, I haven't read the books, but, you know, he fought with that that big Amazon woman. I don't know what her name was.
Brianna Tarth.
And I hear that...
Brianna fucking Tarth.
That's right.
I hear that if you guys ever watch the Comic Book Girl 19 summaries every week on YouTube, she does pretty good summaries of Game of Thrones each week, but... She said that actual battle between the Hound and Brianna didn't actually occur in the books at all. It was completely made up.
She's a fan favorite of the TV show, and so she's taken a much bigger position, I think, at this point. Because I've gone past what I've read in the books now in the TV show, mm-hmm. so I don't know how everything plays out currently. But if I remember right, she has a totally different path she goes down.
Oh, you mean Brianna?
Brianna, right. Yeah.
I thought you meant Comic Book Girl 19 for a second. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
No. Does she do paranormal nudes, too?
Yes, she does.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
So I think the Hound might pop up some place in next season. I hope so, anyway, because I love that guy's character, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I was surprised, Oberon, how much I really liked his character. I didn't think I would when I saw it played out.
Yeah.
To be honest, a couple days I kept thinking, man, I really wish that character had stayed because it would have made for a more interesting TV show.
I think in the books he wasn't such a big character, or he wasn't as badass or as cool as he was portrayed in the show. So, and I had actually forgotten that he died in the book. So when I saw what happened in the fight, that felt, you know, that was, it sort of crushed me.
Is it true that, Jazz, is it true that you used to date Prince Oberon?
Well, he was partial to the men, so.
He was bisexual.
No, he just liked them both, man.
Yeah.
He was, that's why he was like, partial. It's all good, man.
He was post-sexual preference.
Did you guys see that meme that somebody posted? What's a McDonald's Happy Meal? And it's somebody squeezing the box's eyes in an homage to Oberon.
Yeah, that was pretty gruesome, too. In the books, isn't he really just used as a plot device to get to his family to bring them into the wider story? Because, like, his daughters should be a bigger part of the next...
Yeah, next season, his daughters are in there, yeah.
Well, so, Mud King... do you know what happens to the mountain?
I think I do. If I remember right, doesn't he? He's not dead, right?
Well, no. He basically dies.
In the books, I can't remember what happens to him, but I know that he's infected with some poison. But I can't remember whether he survives.
But he becomes like an automaton, doesn't he?
Poison. In the book, he's supposed to. And I didn't read the book. I saw this online. In the book,
and you're cutting out. You're cutting out, buddy.
Poison tipped. You can hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
There was a poison tipped. Sword.
Because there's a scene in where before the fight, you see the guy like polishing the sphere, spear, with a cloth, and it just seemed odd for that scene to be in there, if for another reason, established fact. The weapon was poisoned.
Well, if you guys remember in the last episode, the finale, the person that was in that doctor's office or whatever with Cersei, yeah. That was the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the mountain. And the guy working on him is like a
Meister. Sort
of he's not a Meister. He's a bit discredited in the...
He's sort of like the Malachi Martin of...
Like, of medicine?
Yeah.
Malachi Martin. He's...
the Dr. Kevorkian.
Yeah, maybe that's a better one. Yeah.
He's J.P. Warren, or who's the guy that sells Carnivora?
George Norrie.
I would love to have J.P. Warren on the Game of Thrones world. Have that guy show up with like a medicine van or medicine car.
And just die horribly.
Yeah.
He'd win.
Split in half, top to bottom.
Yeah.
So how many people have actually died throughout the three, or has it been four seasons? In the four seasons of Game of Thrones, has anybody ever tallied up the deaths?
Must be on the internet somewhere.
When just named characters, so are you going to include all the thousands of soldiers that died in battle?
No, none of the minor characters, but like the major characters, you know?
Yeah, a shitload.
A bunch. Seems like there's more people have died in this series than... So, that I'm comfortable with, that I'm used to seeing, you know, because you just get used to a character and you start to like them and you want to see more of them. Then all of a sudden, you know, beheaded or poisoned or, you know,
or they get their dick chopped off.
They get their dick chopped off. Yeah.
But I'm nobody's safe, you know.
What's that, Jess?
I like that about a TV show where no one is safe. Even the main character, no one is safe because it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Tywin Lannister. Dead.
That was nice.
Yeah,
that was really nice to see. What's the little guy's name?
Tyrion. Yeah. How can you not know Tyrion's name? He's the coolest.
Well, there's Tyrion. There's Tyrone. There's
Tywin.
Tywin. Yeah. There's
Tyrell.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. So,
you know, the thing I find really interesting, and this is my own personal observation. I want to see if you guys agree or disagree with Tyrion and Jaime. Have you guys noticed how with Ned and his being one of the only honorable characters in a dishonorable world, how after his death started the journey towards those two guys to basically taking his place as the honorable person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that part of it, because when you first read the first couple books, which again, I haven't read all of them, but I read the first few. And then in the TV show, they do it a little more subtly, but just showing how the death of Ned really affected those two people more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys who don't read the books, all of the books, each chapter is sort of written from this, not written from the perspective, but each chapter is a different character. Like Tyrion will have one chapter, and then Jaime will have another one, and there's, you know, and some of the Stark kids as well will have chapters for them, and that's how the book's written. And then later on in the book, there'll be another Tyrion chapter and another Jaime chapter, and you sort of see events through their eyes.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, with the books, it got hard for me after a while to read it, just because he goes into so much detail about mundane things. Mm-hmm. I just decided, you know, I'm going to watch a TV show.
Yeah. See, that's roughly what I did when I started, like, before I really even watched the first season, I was like, oh, I'm going to check out these books and see what that's all about. And I picked one up and looked at it, and I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to read all these.
Yeah.
How many are there?
That's because there's no nudity in the books. Is that correct?
Well, that's part of it. Sure.
They don't have pictures?
No pictures.
I'm not reading any damn book with no pictures. It's just a bunch of words.
What do you guys think of Daenerys? Do you think the actress who plays her does a good job of playing the part?
Yeah.
Except she does, but she will no longer do nude scenes, apparently.
Yeah, she's not nude anymore, which is bullshit.
She's too famous for that now.
Oh, really?
That's why she has her assistant now to do that for her.
And her hot assistant, too. Yeah,
she's good.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad.
The gorgeous assistant.
To me, it feels like the weight of the role has passed her acting ability by.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue. That's why.
Have you guys seen that bad lip syncing thing that I think Big Chucka posted? There's a real funny thing where they mouse, they put like dialogue over Daenerys's speaking, and it's really fucking hysterical.
No, I haven't seen that.
Her speaking in English or her speaking in High Valyrian or whatever she's speaking?
No, it's just like they took a scene from the show and put dialogue over it that kind of fits with the way her mouth is moving, yeah, and it's so funny.
I have to find that.
So funny.
They did a similar thing with Breaking Bad when Hank and his wife were staring at the tape that What's-His-Face made, and they put on the TV.
Do you not know the names of any of the main characters in any TV show?
No, I got a touch of the retard.
Have you been using the handsome gentleman's mustache wax and diesel engine greaser?
What?
Yes. Have you been using a handsome gentleman's mustache wax and diesel engine degreaser?
What?
Huh?
Yes, I have, good sir. Thank you. No, I can't think of any names. I'm so befuddled right now. I think
How about
I should
Ed Stark. Just get the last names right. Can you do that?
No.
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 Fuck. Well, that's because you've been watching Deadwood.
Is Deadwood good? I need to pick up a new show. So maybe that's
Deadwood is fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Swearing is epic. It's like Shakespeare and Goodfellas, but in a Western.
I've got a Deadwood clip for you right here.
I like both of them.
Doubt me? Suck cock by choice.
That was Deadwood?
Yeah.
Those that doubt me, suck cock by choice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of cocksuckers and motherfuckers in Deadwood.
Sounds like a typical night in my conversation.
They actually got pretty criticized for that. Because they're using, you know, current day curses.
Yeah. They explained why they did that. It's because if they'd use swear words that were current during the actual, like, historically accurate for that period, people would be like, that sounds ridiculous. Because people would be saying, gall darn, and,
yeah.
What's an example of some olden day curse words?
Gall darn.
Well, gall darn there. Insufferable. I don't know.
Back then, if you said goddamn, that was like
the F word or the C word now.
They'd cut your head off for that.
Do you think that's true, or do you think they were just cursing the exact same way we do now? I mean, no. Obviously some words change over time, but like the real out, the people who aren't, because I'm sure there was a small minority who were very devout in everything they did, but then there was guys like, you know, us who just followed basic common sense rather than stressed out about norms and things like respect. They did what they wanted to.
Yeah,
I was wondering about language, whether or not we all have a revisionist ability for the past, and whether we are in our revisionist minds, we say that they just didn't use as vulgar of language as we do now.
I have a difficult time believing that I actually used the slang that was around in the 80s. You know? So I'm not sure exactly what your question was, but that's my answer.
Well, I like it. what was it again? It's all good.
I'm not sure. I think I've completely lost my mind. I think it's time to end the show, as a matter of fact.
Have you been huffing paint?
Yes. Yes. I've been watching too much Deadwood.
You want to hear what crack.com says about Deadwood?
Sure.
Yeah. Deadwood is a fucking show about swearing in the cocksucking Old West.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, we're done.
That is the end of the show, everybody. Hey, Jazz, thanks for calling in, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks, bud.
Next time, I'll be back in Oz.
All right, buddy. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. We completely ignored you tonight, and we apologize for that. I need to say thanks to Dave Harmon, who provided that clip of George Bush that I played earlier. I need to thank my co-hosts, B-Dub, Curtis Thornton, Onan, and Jazz Munda. I'm Eddie Dean. And also, there are other podcasts that are on UFO Ship. The Spec Sheet, the internet's premier... let's see. What is it? What do you guys talk
technology
about?
Technology podcast.
Premier talk Technology podcast. Porn. And there's also the Fret Files with Eric Daw. Anything about guitar repair and anything
Asian
guitar.
Porn.
So I'm going to get out of here before my mouth explodes and my head explodes. Good night, everybody.